Bless you, God. Thank you, Father. As we're in this rich moment, I got a word that I want to give us. And I'm going to be honest with you, I had a whole lot. But I'm going to keep it brief right now. Because the soil of this space, if you're online, you're experiencing it as well. The soil of this space, it is rich, it is fertile. And it's in those moments the most where we need God's word. His word is the seed that is planted. And it yields great righteousness and great fruit in our lives. So if you're able to in this moment, I want to invite you to stand. We're going to read God's word just for a few moments. I recognize we've been in this moment, this anointed moment, this sacred moment, this holy moment. And I want to flow within that moment, deposit what God has given. And so, even if you don't have your Bible with you, or I know this moment right here is potent and powerful, but I'm going to ask our team if you could bring that scripture up on the screen for us. 2 Samuel chapter 4. We're going to go down to verse 4. Actually, jump to verse 4. And in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says this: Saul's son Jonathan had a son whose feet were crippled. He was 5 years old when the report about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nanny picked him up and fled. But as she was hurrying to flee, he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. When we jump over to 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible says these words that I want us to see. It says, when David asked, is there anyone remaining from the family of Saul that I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? There was a servant of Saul's family named Ziba. They summoned him to David. And the king said to him, are you Ziba? I am your servant, he replied. So the king asked, is there anyone left of Saul's family that I can show the kindness of God to? And Ziba said to the king, there is still Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, who we just read about, who was injured in both feet. And the king asked him, where is he? And Ziba answered the king, you'll find him in Lodabar at the house of Machir, son of Ammiel. So King David had him brought from the house of Machir, son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David, fell face down, the posture that we were just in. And when he fell face down, he paid homage to David. David said, Mephibosheth, I am your servant, he replied. Don't be afraid, David said to him, since I intend to show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. And this is the word that I want us to give for today. I will restore to you all your grandfather Saul's fields, and you will always eat meals at my table. King David is a picture of Jesus and what he came to do. As David is saying to Mephibosheth, I'm going to restore everything. God is speaking to us today and is saying this: I want to restore everything. Things that you've lost, where there's been brokenness, I want to restore. Today, as we begin this sermon series, Triggers and Trauma, as I told the 9 a.m. service, I believe that the word that God wants us to receive for these just next few moments that we're together is from trauma to triumph. That he wants to take you from your trauma to his triumph. that your painful place does not have to be your last place. That where there was pain, God also has great promise. That the worst thing that happened to you does not have to be the last thing that happens to you. He wants to take you from trauma to triumph. Father, everything our eyes have seen and ears have heard in these moments, would you seal it for these next few minutes with your word? Our hearts are ready and open. God, our hearts have experienced brokenness. But sometimes it's in the brokenness where great blessing occurs. So Lord, through your word, would you deposit hope and encouragement to us. In Jesus' name, every person said amen. You can be seated from trauma to triumph. As I think about family, this moment of worship that we've been in online, if you're here, one of the things that I really begin to sense coming into this year and coming into even today is that many of us in here have experienced trauma of all kinds in our life. Trauma is a word, family, that's used by so many people today that unfortunately it has been hijacked to mean many different things. But one of the clearest definitions that I can give us for trauma that I want to submit to you today is this definition that I found that I think is really helpful and really, really beneficial that I want to use as a foundation for these next few weeks that we'll be in this series. One person describes trauma as something that's deeply distressing or disturbing in experiences that overwhelm an individual's ability to cope, often resulting in lasting emotional, psychological, and even physical effects. Matter of fact, some studies have shown that 70% of all Americans here just in this country alone have experienced at least one traumatic event in their life. That 70% of us here in this room and even watching online, depending on when you're watching and listening to this message, have experienced a trauma of some kind. And unfortunately, when we may share a little bit about the traumas that we experience, sometimes, and you all can maybe, some of us can attest to this experience, it's been met with disregard. It's not that serious. Get over it. Some of us have been told that somebody else had it worse than you. Some of us have been told you're playing the victim because of some of the things that you have experienced. But what I've recognized from conversations that I've had with people and then even experiencing some difficulties in my own life is that trauma, family, is not just something that you easily get over. It's not just something that you can just go to sleep on one day and then wake up and act as if nothing happened at all. Which connects so much with this text that I want us to see today here in 2 Samuel chapter 4 and also chapter 9. Because here in 2 Samuel chapter 4, you see a few different biblical characters here mentioned. Saul, a guy by the name of Jonathan, a guy by the name of David, but then also a guy that we're going to look at today for the next few minutes, a guy by the name of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of a guy by the name of King Saul. King Saul was the guy who was king over all of Israel, God's people, in the Old Testament times. King Saul was also somebody who disobeyed God and who God had snatched the kingdom away and was eventually planning to give it to David, which then caused tension to erupt between Saul and David, where Saul despised David. Saul was constantly trying to kill David. But in Saul's household was his son named Jonathan. And Jonathan, unlike Saul, was extremely connected to David. They were best of friends. They loved one another as brothers, as blood brothers, if you will. And there was many times where Saul was trying to take the life of King David. And Jonathan, because of his friendship with David, would oftentimes give David warnings as to when danger was coming his way from his father, Saul. And oddly enough, family, at the end of 1 Samuel, if you go back and read it, Saul, King Saul, and his son Jonathan died on a battlefield. And as they died on a battlefield, the Bible talks about here in 2 Samuel chapter 4 that news begins to spread throughout the land that the king is dead. Now that the king is dead, many people are afraid that enemy presence is going to invade the land and cause disruption and cause evil and cause death. And so now what's happening is people are fleeing for their lives. And we see that specifically here in chapter 4, verse 4. Because one of the people that was fleeing from the land for safety was from the household of Jonathan. And the person that was fleeing, or the people that were fleeing, was the nanny of Jonathan's son, who we know here in this text known as Mephibosheth. And as the nanny is fleeing, the Bible says that she grabs the five-year-old Mephibosheth, trying to protect him and trying to run off with him. But as she is running off with him, the Bible says that she drops Mephibosheth. And as he falls at 5 years old, the Bible says that his ability to walk, his feet were broken. He was crippled. The Bible says specifically he was lame. His feet were permanently broken. And as we'll see later on in 2 Samuel chapter 9, family, this injury and this permanent thing that happened, this traumatic event that happened to Mephibosheth at 5 years old, has now carried over into the adulthood of Mephibosheth some years later. And the reason why I want to highlight that, family, is because some of the trauma that we have experienced was not something that maybe happened today. It was maybe something that happened yesterday. It was something that maybe impacted us in our childhood. Something that maybe impacted us in our yesterday years, if you will. I don't know if you've ever been through a traumatic event in your life, but I've experienced some different traumatic events. I shared this story a little bit in the 9 a.m. service about how a few years ago I was playing with a friend of mine's dog and wrestling with the dog and having fun with the dog. And then a few hours later, I get home and notice all these red bumps on my body. They weren't mosquito bites. Because what I discovered is that they were flea bites. And if you've ever had flea bites, you know how uncomfortable and traumatizing that is. But what made it worse, family, was not only did I have these bites, but some days later, there was an infestation in my apartment of fleas, to the point where now I had to get these flea bombs, put them in every room, set them off, leave the premises for a number of hours, come back, wipe all the residue from the flea bombs off, only hoping that it would take care of the issue. And though it solved the issue in that moment, the residue of that traumatic event has stayed with me today. So much to the point, y'all, I could be outside cutting grass and I'll come in and the first thing I do is look at my feet to look for that. Why do I say that? Because for many of us, the traumatic event happened years ago, but the residue of it still remains today. We've still carried it with us today. And what I've recognized, family, is all of us in here under the sound of my voice, we got some trauma. We got some brokenness. Your trauma might not be like Mephibosheth's or mine, but all of us got some trauma of some kind. And what we see in this text, family, is that just as Mephibosheth was hurt in his trauma, the trauma that we've also experienced has caused some hurt and pain in our own lives. And can I let you know this? Much of the trauma that we've experienced, just like Mephibosheth, was out of our control. He was 5 years old, and he was dropped. It wasn't his fault. He did nothing to contribute to it. And some of us in here today, you have experienced some trauma, and it was not your fault. It was not your fault that they abused you. It was not your fault that the car accident happened. It was not your fault that your parents walked out on you. It was not your fault that you got a negative diagnosis. All of us in here have experienced trauma of all kinds. Some of us have been through unbelievable trauma, where you've experienced the ending and the dissolving of a marriage. Some of us have experienced the trauma of your parents divorcing at a young age. Some of us have experienced the trauma of losing a child. Some of us have experienced the trauma in the form of injustice. Some of us have experienced trauma in the form of being exposed to pornography at an early age, and it messed with your purity up to this point. Some of us have experienced trauma where you grew up in a violence-filled home, a violence-filled community. But can I let you know this today? That no matter how much the enemy has tried to guilt trip you for the trauma that you've experienced, much of the trauma that you've experienced was not your fault. It's come because we live in a broken world, y'all. A world that has been broken because of sin. Where tragedy happens, where brokenness happens, where difficulty happens. And for some of us, the trauma and triggers that we carry with us today are rooted in something that happened yesterday. You were a kid when those things happened to you. You were a toddler when those things happened to you. You were a teenager when that happened to you. You were robbed of some things at an early age that weren't your fault, that you haven't been able to recover from. But I've recognized, family, in 38 years of living, if we're really honest, all of us in here got some trauma that we've dealt with. And if we're also honest, not all of us have recovered from them. Here's what we've done. We've learned to function with them. We've learned to go through life limping with the trauma that's happened. We haven't been set free, so there's been an irregular growth to our lives because of some of the trauma that's happened in our lives. And maybe we've come into this service and come into this perspective of thinking that I am what happened to me, that I'll never recover, that I'll never get better, that there is no way my life can change from this. But I want to encourage some of us here today that if you find yourself dealing with trauma of all kinds, just like Mephibosheth, I want to go to these first few verses in 2 Samuel chapter 9. I want you to look at it because it's actually encouraging if you process it. David says this: is there anyone remaining from the family of Saul? And when you jump down, Ziba says to the king, there is still Jonathan's son who was injured in both feet. I want you to see what happens. David says, is there anyone left? Has anybody survived from the family of Saul? And Ziba says to the king, there is still Jonathan's son who was injured in both feet. I'm gonna tell you why this is encouraging for me. Because what it lets me know is that after everything that Mephibosheth endured, and after everything that Mephibosheth experienced, after the paralysis that he experienced, after the pain that he experienced, after the loss that he experienced, after the abandonment that he may have felt, do you know the good news that's here in this text? He survived it. Why is this good news? Because it is a testament to the grace of God on his life. And some of you are here today and you've walked through so much darkness in your life. You have walked through impossible things. You have walked through unimaginable things. But I want to let you know, you are actually still here to talk about it today. And the reason why that's good news is because God's grace has been on your life from the moment of that trauma and that tragedy to the moment that you are here today. Why do I celebrate that? Because it lets me know that in the midst of the trauma that I've experienced, in the midst of the brokenness that I've experienced, God's goodness and his mercy have been with me every step of the way. His grace has followed me. His grace has covered me. Why is that good news for you? Because here's what this means. In the midst of the worst thing that you faced, you still survived it. In the midst of the abuse, you survived. In the midst of the darkness, you survived. In the midst of the addiction, you survived. In the midst of the exposure, You survive in the midst of the abandonment. You survive in the midst of the divorce. You survive in the midst of the loss of the child. You survive. And I'm here to let you know that you are more than a survivor than you recognize. And the reason why you're a survivor is not because of luck. It's not because of fortune. It's not because of coincidence. It's not because of happenstance. It is strictly and purely due to the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. And if there's anybody here today that survived some trauma, Can you worship God for about 10 seconds for the dark things that you made it through? Come on, somebody. I'm talking to some of y'all who survived some things that should have taken you out. You survived some things that were dark. You survived some things that were impossible. After all these years, Mephibosheth is still here. After all that you've walked through, you're still here. What the enemy tried to use to end you, God had his hand on you. In the midst of all the things that you've been exposed to, that tried to rob your dignity and your purity, at a young age, you are still here. In the midst of the abuse, you are still here. In the midst of the loss, you are still here. And some of you have been trying to figure out, I don't know how I go to work every single day with what's happened to my life. I don't know how I can wake up every single day and still have mobility in my limbs and still get up out of the bed and still be able to move forward and still be able to put one foot in front of the next and still be able to clock in and clock out and still be able to raise these kids and still be able to love my spouse and still be able to show up to work on time and still give it my best. I'm here to let you know it's because you're anointed and you got a grace on your life and there's a mercy on your life and goodness and mercy have been following you all the days of your life. Can I let you know this? You're sitting next to somebody who's a survivor. Tell the person beside you, you're a survivor. Come on, find somebody else, tell them you're a survivor. You survived some things. If I were to pass a microphone around to all of us in here, all of us would have some type of a story that you survived. You survived car accidents that should have ended your life. You survived brokenness that happened to you as a child. You survived. Yes, it injured you, but it did not end you. His grace was still there. And in spite of the traumatic event that he experienced and that you and I have experienced, the good news is this, that God offers, I want you to write this down, he offers us hope for our trauma. In case you're here today, and I just get a sense that some of you are here today and you came here on some type of negotiation with God. God, if you don't speak to me today in this church service, I'm done. And God in his goodness orchestrated this whole moment to have a conversation with you, to let you know, even though you feel like you're done, I'm not done with your life. My grace is still on you. There is hope after your trauma. How do we see this? Because here's what David says. He says and raises this question, is there anybody left that I can show the kindness of God to? That's what he says in verse 1. That's also what he says in verse 4. And what this shows us is that in spite of the trauma that he's experienced, what it lets me know is he has not been forgotten about. Can I let you know this, family? In spite of the trauma that you've experienced, you have not been forgotten. God still has you on his mind. He has not abandoned you. He has not left you. And I love this word kindness, because when you do a background study and a word study on this Hebrew word kindness, it's the Hebrew word hesed, which means this, an unconditional, steadfast love and faithfulness. So when David says, who can I show the kindness of God to? It is ultimately God showing kindness to Mephibosheth through David. It is God essentially sending a message to Mephibosheth through David to let him know, I have been with you, I am with you, and I will always be with you. And if I'm always going to be with you, that means that the worst thing that's happened to you does not have to be the last thing that happens to you. There is hope. Can I let you know this, family? Just as King David was looking for somebody to show kindness to, it's a picture of what God has done for us. God is also looking for people to show his kindness to. And I want to let you know, if you're here today and you feel broken and you feel crippled and you feel disabled because of some things that have happened in your life and in your childhood, I'm here to let you know God is looking to show his kindness to you. God wants to show his goodness to you. God wants to show his grace to you. God wants to show you his love. This is why the Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 18, that the Lord is near the brokenhearted. And some of us are here today and your heart has been broken. Some of us in here today, your will has been broken. From Mephibosheth, his feet were broken. But for some of us in here, your faith has been broken. Your hope has been broken. Your life has been broken. But we got a God on our side who majors in helping people who are broken. And the Bible says he is near to the brokenhearted. Can I let you know that even when you went through the most traumatizing time in your life, God was still there. He was with you in the midst of it all. And some of us are trying to figure out, well, Pastor, if he was with me, then why did this thing happen to me? Here's what Jesus says in John. He says, in this life, you're going to have much trouble because we live in a broken world, because we live in a broken society, because we live in a sin-filled world. What happens oftentimes is things are operating the way not that God intended, but the way that he did not intend. So people do harmful things to others. People say harmful things to others. But the good news that Jesus gives us is though you will face trouble, he says, take joy because I've overcome the world. Take joy because I'm with you. Take joy because though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm always going to be with you. That even in the midst of the brokenness, he's close to you. That God offers hope for your trauma, which means this, that your trauma does not have to be the end of your story. I'm so glad that we see this here in this text, because the Bible could have ended just with 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. Mephibosheth fell, and he was crippled, and he was lame in his feet, and that could have been the end of the story. But our God majors in putting periods where the enemy likes to put in commas where the enemy likes to put periods, where the enemy says it's over. God says, no, 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 it's not over. This is just simply a painful pit stop, but be encouraged because he has you on a journey, and his grace is always sufficient. It's not the end of the story. It's painful, but it's not the ending. It hurt, but it's not the end. I want you to know this. There is hope for you after your pain. I want you to write this down. Your pain may be strong, but God's presence in your pain is stronger. Your pain may be strong, but God's presence in your pain may be stronger. Some of us, because we've been hurt so much and traumatized so much, it's hard for us to hope again. It's hard for us to believe again. But I'm here to let you know that God sent me here on assignment today to let you know this. You can hope again. You can believe again. Then in spite of the things that have happened to you in your childhood, in your adulthood, in your college years, he is here to let you know through his word that in the midst of the hurt that's happened, hope is still available. And if hope is available, here's what this also means. Healing is available as well. So what the text shows us, family, is that not only does he offer hope from or after our trauma, he offers healing from our trauma. Which means this, that yes, it happened. And yes, there's nothing that can change what happened. But in the midst of what happened, God can bring forth restoration. God can bring forth healing. And we see that here in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 6 through 13, because one of the things that you see happening in the scripture is when David summons Mephibosheth, and Mephibosheth comes to David. Here's what the Bible says. Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David. He fell face down. He paid homage to David and David said, Mephibosheth, I'm your servant, Mephibosheth replies. He says, don't be afraid, David said to him, since I intend to show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan, here it is. I will restore to you all your grandfather Saul's field, and you will always eat meals at my table. I want you to see what's happening here, y'all. Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan. Jonathan was the heir to the throne, which also means that if Jonathan was still alive, there may have been a potential that he would have been king, which also meant that Mephibosheth would have been more than likely in line to become king. But because of sinfulness that happened, because of brokenness that happened, we see different things that have taken place and has led to now Mephibosheth being in a different place. The Bible says that he's living in this place called Lodabar. Lodabar is an abandoned place. Lodabar is a low place. Interesting that it's a low place and it's called Lodabar. When I think about that, it's almost as if there has been a lowering of the bar in our life because of brokenness. There has been a decreased sense of hope and expectation that God can still move in the midst of our brokenness. But what David does here, when you look at verse 7, he says, don't be afraid. I will restore to you all your grandfather Saul's field, and you will always eat meals at my table. Here's what Mephibosheth says. He pays homage and says, what is your servant that you take an interest in a dead dog like me? I want you to see the trauma, but I also want you to see the trigger here. Because as a result of David extending kindness to Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth is triggered. It's almost as if he's saying, nobody does kind things for me. I've been crippled for most of my life. Nobody looks out for me. Even the people who may have said they were going to look out for me didn't come through on their promise. And so now it's caused him to look at himself, not in the way that God sees him, but seeing himself through the lens of his brokenness and the lens of his trauma. And for some of us, we know what that feels like, because we have been let down maybe by some people, that even when somebody does something nice for us, it triggers a response in us where we say things like, why are you being so nice to me? Because we've been used to being mishandled. We've been used to being dropped. We've been used to having some injury. But the text shows us something powerful, that Mephibosheth was injured at the hands of someone. But here in the text later on, he's also experiencing healing and restoration at the hands of somebody else. So what this lets us know is that, yes, some of our greatest hurt might come from people, but some of the greatest healing and restoration from God also comes through people, which helps us to understand something. You and I, we need people around us. This is why being at church is so important. This is why being in a connect group is so important. This is why talking with a counselor is so important, because you and I don't get healed in isolation. We need people around us that can be dispensations, if you will, or a picture or a vessel of God's grace and restorative and healing power that he wants to bring into our lives. And we got to be willing to receive it when it comes. Some of us in here, because we've been jaded by so much in our life, we don't trust anybody. We keep everybody at arm's length. We keep everybody closed off from us. But I'm here to let you know, family, that yes, you may not have played a role in your hurt, but you and I always play a role in our healing. And playing a role in our healing means we got to let people in. We got to allow the kindness of God to flow into our life through the lives of other people. And what Mephibosheth's brokenness and trauma helps us to see is that he was dealing with a physical trauma. He was crippled. But do you know what else he was dealing with? A psychological trauma. Why are you showing a dead dog like me so much kindness? Psychologically, he was traumatized. The injury that happened on the outside also brought forth an injury on the inside. And what I've recognized is sometimes it's the emotional and mental and psychological trauma that has more lasting effects than the physical itself. Which is why Pastor Craig Rochelle says it like this, that the hurt and the pain that you can't see typically hurt as much as the ones that you can see. That the wounds that you can't see hurt as much as the wounds that you can see. But the good news is this, that in spite of his response, I love what King David does here. He still brings forth restoration to his life. He still brings forth healing to his life. He says, it's almost as if he's saying, Mephibosheth, I know that you've experienced much loss, and I know you've been broken. I want you to think about what he's lost. He's not only lost ability to walk, he lost a grandfather. He lost a father. He lost a place at the table. He lost royalty and the benefits that came with it. He's experienced, he lost a childhood. Because at 5 years old, he was crippled and couldn't walk. Can you imagine that? As a 5-year-old child,
He's lost so much, but yet God sends David to restore some of the things that he has lost. I'm here to let you know that I know that you've lost so much in your life, and I know that you've experienced trauma in your life, but God sent me on assignment to let you know that God wants to bring forth restoration to areas in your life where there has been loss in your life, that God wants to bring healing to your life where there's been loss and trauma in your life. Matter of fact, the New Testament writer Peter, Apostle Peter, he says it like this in 1 Peter 5 and 10. He says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore." Say it with me, restore. "Establish," and he will strengthen, and he will support you, watch this, "after you have suffered a little while." Family, here's one thing I can guarantee you and I will face: suffering in this life. We're going to deal with hardships in our life, in this life. I can guarantee you that. But do you know something else I can guarantee you? That when you have suffered, and when you go through suffering, and when you go through trauma, the God of grace, who called you into relationship with Jesus Christ, he is faithful to restore. He is faithful to establish. He is faithful to support. Yes, you can count on the fact that trauma will happen, that trouble will come, that hardships will happen. But do you know something else that you can put money in the bank on? That God will always show up, that God will always bring forth healing, that God will always bring forth restoration. Which means this, family, you can heal from your trauma. I want to let you know you can heal after the loss. I want to let you know that you can heal after the breakup with your boyfriend or girlfriend. I want to let you know that you can heal after the setback. I want to let you know that you can heal after the failure. I want to let you know that you can heal after the loss, and you can heal after the person walked out of your life. I'm here to let you know that no matter the trauma that has happened in your life, God is faithful to restore, and that he still heals, and that he still renews, and that he still brings new life. We see that in Mephibosheth, because the Bible, if you look on in verses 7 through 9, verses 9 through 10, notice what the Bible says, that the king summoned Saul's attendant and Ziba and said to him, "I have given to your master's grandson all that belonged to Saul and his family. You, your sons, and your servants are to work the ground for him, and you are to bring in the crops so your master's grandson will have food to eat." Do you see what's happening here? Mephibosheth has gone from being on his own to now having people working for him. It is the epitome of he started at the bottom, but because of the grace and the kindness of God through David, he has gone from the bottom to the top. He has gone from being low to now being seated high. He has gone from Lodabar to now Jerusalem. Here's what the Bible says: "But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, is always to eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Verse 11, Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do all my lord the king commands." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table, just like one of the king's sons. Verse 12, watch this, y'all. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. It's crazy, y'all, that Mephibosheth has some brokenness in his life, but at the same time had some blessing in his life. In the midst of the brokenness that he experienced, there was still blessing in the form of a son. I'm here to let you know that even in your broken season, there is still blessing that God has for you. Matter of fact, I thought about calling this sermon, "It Broke Me, But It Blessed Me." I've walked through some brokenness, but from my brokenness, there was blessing. And watch verse 13. Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the place where the king lived. Jerusalem was the place of promise. Jerusalem was the place of the palace. Jerusalem was the place that everybody ultimately wanted to ultimately be. And it says, because he always ate at the king's table, his feet had been injured. I love this, y'all, because what the text shows us is that even though Mephibosheth's ability wasn't restored, his dignity was. What this helps me to see is that God is not always going to change what happened. Much of what's happened in our lives, it is permanent, and there's nothing that we can do about it. But God is able to take that which happened in our yesterday and turn it for our good. which is why the Bible says in Romans 8 and 28, it's not a cliche scripture, it is the truth, that he is able to make all things work together for those who love him and are called according. What are the all things, Pastor? Not just the good things, but the broken things. Not just the good things, but the painful things. Not just the high things and the great things, but the ugly things. Not just the pleasant things, but the unbelievable things that we walk through. He is able to take all the good, and he's able to take all the bad. He's able to mix all these ingredients together and create in it something that can be used to glorify him for his glory and something to add value for your good. I'm here to let you know that in the midst of the trauma that you've walked through, in the midst of the pain that you walked through, I know it's ugly and I know it hurts and I know it was painful and I know it was unbelievable, but I'm here to let you know that God is still a healer. I'm here to let you know that God still wants to restore. I'm here to let you know that God still has a plan for your life. He still has a purpose for your life. He still has a future for your life. He still has destiny for your life. He still has something for your life. I'm going to close with this thought, because a lot of times you'll see pastors like myself, and it's easy to hear messages like this, and Pastor, you don't know what I've gone through. You're right, I don't, but what I do know is I've dealt with some things myself. I've walked through some painful moments and traumatizing moments myself. I know what it feels like to experience some betrayal. Know what it feels like to be exposed to some things at an early age that you shouldn't have been exposed to, and have to deal with that for a good portion of your life. I know what that feels like. When I was thinking about this, I thought about how in the midst of all the brokenness that we've experienced, in the midst of people that we see, we don't always know their story. We don't know the pain that they've walked through, but I'm here to let you know that just as we've all walked through some pain, some trauma, there is hope and healing after it. That you can be healed of the trauma that you face. And what's so powerful about this is we see this in 1 Peter 5 and 10. It says, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, he will himself restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little while. Peter says that in 1 Peter 5, but do you know what he says early in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24? It says this, he himself, meaning Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. Here's the verse. By his wounds, you have been healed. Can I let you know this? The trauma that you've experienced, Jesus can say, I know what that feels like too. I was beaten. I was abused. I was left for dead. I was talked about. I know what abandonment feels like. For any of us in here who feel any type of trauma, Jesus can identify with that. But do you know why he went through his trauma? So that way when we go through ours, we could experience his healing power. So by his wounds, we are healed. And Titus 3, 4 through 6 says this, but when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Here's what verse 6 says. He poured out his Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And then in verse 7, it says this, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs. Do you know what an heir is? A son, a daughter, a part of the family. Why is this so vital to see? Because what did the scripture say about Mephibosheth? That King David invited him into the table, and he ate at the table as one of the king's sons. Can I let you know this, family? That we got a greater king who invites us to his table, and his name is not David. His name is Jesus. And he invites us to his table. And at his table, there is restoration. At his table, there is healing. And he invites all people who are broken. He invites all people who are hurting. He invites all people who are traumatized. He says, at his table, there is healing. At his table, there is deliverance. At his table, there is restoration. At his table, there is power. At his table, there is provision. At his table, he wants you to eat as his son and as his daughter. I know for some of you in your trauma, you felt alone. I want to let you know that your father always had his eyes on you. He was always with you. Your King Jesus always had prepared a table for you. That in the midst of your pain, can I let you know this? There's a seat at his table for you. And all he's doing is he's inviting you. Hey, I know you're hurting. I know you're broken. Come to my table and you receive healing and you receive forgiveness and you receive freedom. I want to invite us to stand to our feet. I believe that some of you are here today and you need to experience the seat at his table. King Jesus is inviting you to his table. I know you've gone through so much. You've dealt with so much pain. I want you to know this, though. There is still room for you at his table. In spite of what you've gone through, there's still room. And at his table, in his presence, the Bible says this, there are pleasures forevermore. And I believe that today what God wants to do is he wants to bring forth a healing to the trauma that we have experienced. I don't know the pain that you've walked through, but what I do know is one who is able to heal that pain. I don't know what you've been carrying for so long. Some of us have been walking with a limp for years because of what happened to us. What I do know is the one who can restore. He restores your dignity. Restores your destiny. Restores your identity. He has greater in store for you. With heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're here. I believe that this whole entire worship experience, this whole service has been a move of God like never before. Some of you are here and you are broken. You've been carrying so much. It's affected how you live. It's affected your marriage. It's affecting your parenting, that because you were abused as a child, it has now affected you and how you parent your child today. I'm here to let you know that no matter what you've walked through, you can be restored, you can be healed, you can be set free. It may not change what happened, but it gives you hope and healing in spite of what's happened. So Father, in the name of Jesus, for every person here under the sound of my voice, online and in person, God, we've gathered here at your feet and at your table in need of your grace and goodness. I pray for my brothers and sisters today who are traumatized by things that have happened to them, walking through hardship, walking through difficulties, for every tear that is running down faces right now, I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that they then would know that they are loved by you. That they've heard this message, they've had this encounter with you as a reminder that you are for them, not against them. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, some of you are here today, you've been trying to be healed of your trauma on your own. I'm here to let you know you can't heal yourself. Only Jesus can do that. You've been trying to get free yourself. Only Jesus can do that. If you're here today, and you're like, Pastor, I want this freedom. I don't want to be defined by this any longer. I'm going to let you know the key to that is being in relationship with Jesus Christ by receiving him as your Lord and as your Savior. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus. I want to start new with him. I want a new beginning today. I want my life to no longer be hindered by what happened yesterday. But I want to walk in the future that he has for me. If you're here under the sound of my voice, on the count of three, if this is you, you're ready to say yes to Jesus. On the count of three, I want you to shoot up your hand. One, two, three. If this is you today,
Amen. I see your hands. Amen. 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 If you're here, come on. If this is you, you feel God pulling you on your heart. Today is the day of new beginnings. If this is you, you want a new relationship with Him. You want a new beginning. Just shoot up your hand right now, wherever you are. Not going to put you on the spot. I just want to see you. Amen. If you're online, it's also for you as well. Amen. Amen. My head's about and eyes are closed. If you're here and you raise your hand today, you want a new beginning. I want you to say these words after me. The Bible says when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we'll be saved. We'll have new life. We'll have a new beginning. So would you say these words? Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for hope. Thank you for your healing. In your name I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, can we celebrate those who have said yes to Jesus today? Come on, can we celebrate in a big way? I saw some hands go up, y'all. Amen. Amen. If you're here today and you prayed that prayer, you've made the greatest decision you will ever make. If you're online, I want you to text I decided to 94,000. If you're here, I want you to take that connection card, fill it out, check the box. Take that white card to the blue tent outside because our team is out there. We would love to connect with you and give you a free gift and also pray with you to help you continue to take the steps that God wants you to walk out in this new journey of life. And as we close this service, we're going to close this with worship through communion. Pastor Brian will come up here in just a moment. But one of the things that we believe in is remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross. And the Bible says that before he would go to the cross, he gathered with his disciples. He took some elements, bread and wine. And do you know where he did that? He did that at a table with his disciples. It was at the table where Jesus helped them to see that he would offer his body, offer his blood, so that they could experience restoration, so that they could experience renewal. So the Bible says that he, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, this bread represents my body which has been given for you. His body was beaten. His body was bruised, family. His body was traumatized. But he did it for you. He says, eat now in remembrance of me. The Bible says that he also took the cup. He said, this cup represents my blood, which has been shed for the forgiveness of sins. The Bible says that by his wounds we are healed. The wounds of Jesus, the trauma of Jesus, took place so that through his trauma and overcoming it, now through him we can overcome ours because of his blood. He says, drink now in remembrance of me. Father, we thank you. We thank you for always showing kindness to us. We thank you that even in our trauma, you were there for us. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that in the midst of the trauma that we've experienced, because of Jesus, we can go from trauma to triumph. That yes, it hurt. Yes, it happened. But it's not the last thing that has to happen, because you have a hope for us. And you have a future for us. And you've proven that through your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the promise of Christ. We thank you for the power of Christ. We thank you that in the midst of all that's happened to us, we can live again and we can move forward in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Come on, let's celebrate the greatness of our God today. Come on, let's celebrate his goodness today.
Amen. Amen.